morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. You have your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Merry third day of Christmas.
Merry third day of Christmas to all of you out there. Thank you, Beth. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate you guys being here to kick things off with us on this Tuesday. Oh, I almost said Monday. I was really close. Fun things in store for today. In just a little bit, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar. Looking forward to that. I have a story about a heroic couple trying to do something maybe for next Christmas so we don't have to deal with last Christmas.
Okay.
We'll get into more details about that. Five things men do that women don't understand.
Only being five. Cryptic.
Yeah, I it's a 3-hour show, so we had to keep it to five.
Let's see how many more we can add, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Sure you are.
Could feeding seaweed help our cows?
Huh.
It's a story Melissa sent over to me. I'm looking forward to getting into it. I didn't have a chance to look at it till this weekend. That was a really good one. I didn't see that one. Actually, I sent it to my daughter, Isabel, who loves cows. So we are both very thankful for that.
I saw the headline and sent it to you because, I mean, cow burps. If they're going to save us, that's awesome.
Wouldn't that be the way?
Yep.
They ask us 100 years from now, what saved humanity? Cow burps.
Okay. Belches from bovines.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't see that one coming. We just didn't see that coming. All that coming up for you. We will also get, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour to Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, we got some entertainment news. We'll have some fun there. We are giving the ladies the week off from the kitchens open. And by we, I mean they are giving themselves the week off. We are looking forward to, though, in the kickoff of the 9 o'clock hour, still going to talk a little bit of food. I've got the 6 foods we lost in 2022.
Oh. That's sad.
Yeah. We're going to get into those. We're going to see which ones we lost and how we can maybe bring them back.
Okay.
All of that coming up for you. Again, entertainment news in 9 o'clock hour, some that I write stories, good stories of the day. All these things coming up all for all you guys. But it is all live radio, and you never know what can happen. So I want to get into that right now. Give us an opportunity for live radio to happen.
Okay.
Melissa, how was your weekend? How was your Christmas?
It was good. We had a quiet Christmas at home, just me and my boyfriend. His father chose not to drive on the roads. They were drifting quite a bit up in Abbotsford, so he just stayed home and, we hung out, had a nice day. And Sunday, we spent Christmas with my old roomie and her little girls. So that was a lot of fun. Had a delicious meal. It was amazing. Mm. And just a nice Christmas celebration with everybody.
Right on. Were you able to relax after that a little bit?
No. Well, we took Quinn home with us, so a 3-year-old visitor overnight, which she had a lot of fun. We drew a lot of pictures. Discovered that I somehow did not manage to also move any of my colored pencils or markers or crayons that I have with me when I moved. So Aaron saved the day. He found highlighters.
Nice.
Perfect.
And pens and Sharpies. So we laid out paper on the table, like newspaper, and then paper to protect my grandma's wooden table. But she had a really good time, drew a lot of pictures. We had fun.
Very good to hear. Very cool to hear. It sounds like it was a really good Christmas for Quinn, too.
Yeah.
Good to hear. Beth, how about yours?
It was busy, but that's typical for me. We did indeed have our Christmas Eve services, one at 4 o'clock, one at 7. Quite a few attended virtually. So we did Zoom and live stream the 7 o'clock service. So there were quite a few that chose that option. And then Sunday morning, we still had worship because it was Sunday and we worship on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And very low attendance, but those that came really appreciated it. We did a tradition in the Moravian Church, which is a rarity. We seldom do this, maybe once a year. It's called a love feast. So it's similar to having communion, but instead of it just being a wafer and a little thing of juice, it's a, like this time we had cookies. So we had a sugar cookie and apple cider. Most traditionally, it's more of a roll and a cup of coffee. And so during the service, it gets handed out. And then while there's special music or you're invited to talk, you get to eat this together in the sanctuary. And then you sing a couple more hymns while it's being collected. So it was a wonderful, just relaxed time of being able to be together. And then we had a couple over for a meal that have become kind of like our family here in town, since we don't have any family that lives anywhere close close to us. And I laughed heartily as we Zoomed with my family from the different places where they were for that hour. So
Uncle Joe, you're on mute. I can't hear you. Unmute your microphone.
Yep. No, it was more, Dad, you need to mute because you're in the same room with Uncle Joe.
Oh,
yeah,
there
and
you go.
So we don't need the echo and the vibe. So yeah, but we figured it out. And then just the teasing back and forth. Mm-hmm. It just, it was a lot of fun.
Well, good.
It had to feel good to have some people around him, going to be around in a while or talk to some people you haven't in a while.
Yeah, that's cool. It was interesting because my sister and brother-in-law ended up Zooming from his church because he's also a pastor. The oven, the heating element in their parsonage broke and started sparking. So they figured it was probably wiser to bake the cookies at the church.
Yes.
So that's where they Zoomed from. So it was interesting to see them running around that kitchen. So
at least they had an alternative.
They did. Yeah. You know, that's one of the few perks that we pastors have.
When your heating element goes out.
I'm curious, Beth, how it goes, you know, for the boys to share you on Christmas. Yeah. How they do with that, how that goes, and how that the lesson that there is in that.
They actually handled it very well, and part of it is I incorporated them as well. So our family provided the special music for Christmas morning.
There
it was something that we did together, and they know. They've just grown up from the time that they were born going to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's Christmas. And it's been, as they get older, interesting trying to help them understand, okay, when I'm at the church, I'm not necessarily mom.
Just mom.
If you need a parent, you need to go to dad. I'm also Pastor Beth, so I need to be able to focus on being with the other people that are here, leading the worship service, taking care of that. And sometimes they do really well with that, sometimes not so much, but we're getting there. You know, it's one of those things that they just have to learn growing up.
I feel like I would be constantly running up there to ask my mom to tie my shoes or something like that. I'd be like, what?
Well, and it's interesting because on Christmas Eve at the 7 o'clock service, as I'm preaching about, you know, a little child and all of this, somebody that's not a member of my family, a little toddler that's probably not quite two yet, worked his way up to me at the front. So I just, you know, bent down, picked him up, held him for a little bit, then took him back to his dad, and then kept going. So
very cool to hear. I'm happy to hear that. Yeah,
Jesus said, let the little children come to me. So I'm there, like, you know, why stop them?
Why not? Yeah. I mean, it is.
They're cute.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
I love kids. Yeah. I really do. So, and mine have not been that small in many, many years. So
they were made that cute, that small for a reason.
Exactly. Yep. That's how they survive into teenage years.
Yes. We remember those early days when they were so dang cute and everything. Yep. You made it another day. You made it another day.
How about you, James? Do you have a good weekend?
Yeah, thank you for asking. It was really good. It was very fun. You guys started out things in such a positive light and everything. I don't want to be negative here or anything. I did have some really positive and fun things happen. On Christmas Eve, I helped a lady, and I ended up shoveling about three different driveways.
Oh, wow.
Total over the next couple. This lady that was down the block that I've always, haven't seen her in a while, and it was nice to catch up with her a little bit. It was pretty good. I did not get any sleep Christmas Eve, Christmas night. I didn't get any. Did anybody else get visited by this ghost of Christmas past or whatever? Like, this guy just shows up. I'm trying to sleep. I just got done saying, I shoveled three different driveways. I'm not a young man anymore. I needed the sleep. This guy is showing up and telling, I have to tell you something. Yeah. I got no time for that, man. I just told him to leave. And he's like, no, I have to tell you. I don't care. I'm trying to sleep. Eventually, some other ghost from present stops by and future and all this. I didn't pay attention to any of them. Didn't really have a very conversation. Did anybody else have that happen? Because
no.
I didn't get any sleep. These ghosts just keep showing up. And like, we got to teach them. I don't care. I don't want to. I mean, I'm good. I don't need anything.
Right.
I also I showed him the Star of David, hoping that would like push him away. No, didn't care.
Did not matter.
Did not matter. They were still like, we're going to teach you a lesson.
How was your Hanukkah?
Very good. Very exciting. Thank you for asking. Hanukkah always hits the heart and always has meant something to me. It is very similar to Christmas to me in the sense that I have all the respect in the world for the religious connotations of them, but they don't really have a lot of that for me.
Right.
For me, it is so much more about the literal spirit of the days, the meaningness of the days, the hope that they create, so much of those things. So I'm very fortunate in that regard where you know, I don't think that you have to try that hard to find those things if you work, if you look, if you work for it, and especially if you look at your own personal life. And it's been like the last month at least where, you know, the Jeep's not working. My laptop breaks. It's just these one little, you know, it just seems to be these things that happen over and over again. I've got this, like, something going on with my neck where I can't turn and look at Beth. I have to turn my whole chair. Like, it's just these little things over and over again. Hanukkah, Christmas, these things happen. And you are around family, friends, people that you love and care about. And it's awfully hard to focus on negatives.
Right.
When you look at all these positives you have. And it's also nice to kind of, when you take a step back and like, well, that's kind of the world, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have plenty of negatives going on. We've got governors sending migrants to our vice president's house on Christmas Eve. And then you, maybe even worse than that, you got people that believe in that. People that they think that's a good move, think that that's what Americans should do, that that's classy, that that's a political suave move or something. There's some negative stuff out there, but if you give yourself a chance to, you know, give into that, that's all you're ever going to read. That's all you're ever going to find. If you just expand your view a little bit, you will see that there are great stories out there, like this wonderful couple that is trying to get rid of Last Christmas.
The song?
Yes. This heroic couple that has launched a $15 million crowdfund to buy the rights to Last Christmas and permanently remove it from the airwaves.
Oh, boy.
No more Whamageddon.
I'm sorry. I had to try to find a light moment. You know me, you guys. If you let me keep going, the next 3 hours is going to be nothing but serious. Global heroic Thomas and Hannah Mazzetti, a British-Swedish couple currently residing in Sweden. We say good morning to our Swedish listeners out there. Have launched an online fundraiser to buy the rights to the insufferable, awful 1984 Wham! Song Last Christmas and remove it from the airwaves permanently. The fundraiser to purchase the insipid tunes rights, currently owned by the Warner Chappell Music UK and valued at between $15 million and $25
million. Wow, jeez. Just that one song.
Has a long way to go to its global goal of the low end of the range, having only collected about $62,000 so far. Oh,
yeah. I don't know if that's going to pan out.
Look, I'm not a huge fan of that song. I don't know. I don't feel that strongly about
There's
it.
There's a lot of songs I don't like. You can just, you know, turn off your radio, tune them out, or walk out of the store, which I have done,
or tell your device
not because of that song
to skip.
Yeah.
Skip that one, please.
I will say, okay, so Elvis's Blue Christmas.
Oh.
Can't stand it. Can't stand
it. Me neither.
I know I'm going to lose some people there and everything, but I'm always honest with you guys, so I'm going to be honest. It's not my kind of music.
It's not the song so much as the way that he sings it.
It's the way he sings it, yes. It generally sounds like
it's
he
so
didn't.
So over the top.
Yeah.
Well, it sounded like he didn't really want to be there. So like he didn't really want to do the song. But like that song, I would never turn that off, even on my own personal shuffle. Well, it's not on my shuffle, but I wouldn't, I wouldn't want it to be taken away from others.
Right.
You know, I know there are people out there that love that song and more power to them. You should have, that's kind of the essence of music, but especially Christmas music. Mm-hmm. I don't know many people, even people that I know, I should say, that do like Christmas music, have a handful of songs like, oh, I don't want that one. Oh, right, I don't like that one, that kind of thing. So I don't know. I don't like the idea necessarily. I love the story. I love the idea of the story, though.
And the fact that they've not even started to get close to their goal is kind of a good part of the story, in my opinion. But also raises the question of what's going to happen to that money if they don't hit their goal.
Mm. Yeah, that... So that wasn't brought up, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to bring that up on the air or not. I'm glad you did, because if I feel that strongly, I hate this song, I grew up with that song, I want it gone, and I did $100. I put $100 into that, and this is all the money they raise. I kind of want my $100 back.
Right.
I kind of I don't know. I don't know how that works necessarily with those things. I've never done anything like that.
I think that is how it works with the crowdsourcing. If you can't reach your goal, then it automatically gets refunded back to you.
I would hope so, because otherwise this is some kind of scam.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Very much. A bad scam. Nonetheless. Uh-huh. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get to our National Day of Calendar. It's Melissa, Beth, and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Going to get into our National Day of Calendar in a moment. I do want to remind everybody, we've got just 3 days left for you to qualify for Quality Foods IGA New Year's basket that they're giving away.
Yes, indeed.
We've been playing some trivia to give this away, and we're going to keep on doing that. Be listening today between now and 10, and we'll give you some trivia question. You get it right, you will qualify for this wonderful basket. It's got a bunch of snacks in there, some champagne. Looks very good. Looks very good. Big shout out and a good morning to our friends at Quality Foods IGA. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this December 27th, 2022. And let's see here. It is National Cut Out Snowflakes Day.
Yay!
Oh, fun!
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And with kids home from school, it's a good day to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even I remember doing this in school.
Well, there's so many different ways that you can just be creative with it. Mm-hmm. And then you open it up and it looks like a scary monster.
Yeah. That always would happen to me. That would always happen to me.
This was actually one of the Christmas presents that we got. Anders did that in school and gave us each one, and it was laminated and it had his picture in the middle of the snowflake.
That's nice. A good idea.
Sweet. Yeah.
Shouldn't all kids' projects be laminated? I mean, they would last so much longer.
Yeah.
They would last so... I asked my mom all the time where all my, you know, stuff is that from like fifth grade and everything. Nothing. She got nothing. Nothing more.
No.
I like that. That's a very good gift. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. Good. Let's see. It is also Visit the Zoo Day.
Ooh.
A little bit tougher for us in
I think the zoo's
Midwest
closed here.
Here, but you could head down to, I think, Milwaukee or Madison.
Milwaukee Zoo, Madison, they may be open. Any day is really a great day to visit your zoo, especially if you haven't been to any one in a while. We just mentioned a couple of for you right there. There's certainly our local one when they open during the summer that is fantastic. Zoos are great. I think that in a perfect world, maybe, would we have zoos? Would we have animals in cages? All these things. Those are questions and a conversation for, and any time you guys want to have, we can have. But right now, I think that the focus is these animals, so many of these animals that have been, zoo-acated, if you will, they need somewhere to be. And their children need somewhere to be. These zoos are incredibly important. And we focus so much on the animals, and rightfully so. The people that run zoos, 90% of the time, some of the greatest, good-willed people you will meet, dedicating their lives. And I've only known a handful of zookeepers. I knew dated a girl who graduated from Point and became a zookeeper in Texas, and visited her down there, and got to see behind the scenes of a lot of that stuff and what they do and everything. And it's some of the hardest work I've seen, but some of the happiest work and happiest workers I've seen.
Yeah, well, they get such a close connection to the animals, I think, that it enriches both of their lives.
Absolutely.
You have no idea how tall a giraffe is until you're literally standing next to it. Like, you see them and think you do.
You mean something made you feel short, James?
Yes, very much, very much. But I wanted to challenge him to a game of ball. I wanted to, felt like I had to. National Fruitcake Day.
Ooh.
This is a day all about Governor Abbott in Texas. This is I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood that. Fruitcakes. We've all seen them in movies or Grandma's Kitchen. The heavy and dark cake that looks like it went through 7 stages of baking and sounds like a fist thumping against a wooden table when you set it down on the surface. I hate to see what Fruitcake Day is. I mean, they're not really giving it a lot of niceness here.
Yeah, don't hold back. Tell us how you really feel over there. Yeah.
While none of us know the true creator of the fruitcake, many historians believe that fruitcakes originated from Rome around 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
And that's the one we keep passing around.
Yeah.
Historians believe that one of the earliest recipes known comes from ancient Roman listing pomegranate seeds, pine nuts, and raisins that were mixed into a barley mash. Then there are records from the Middle East, or Middle Ages, documenting that they added honey, spices, and preserved fruits into the original mix.
I kind of think of it as the original granola bar.
There you go.
You know, nice. It's a travel cake that tasted good.
Yeah, really is. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. I never thought of it like that.
And it sounded like it was so past tense. It did taste good. Not sure about now. Yeah. But
because now they've added booze to try to entice people to eat
goodness,
them.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I don't know if it works.
Starting in the 16th century, sugar from the American colonies, along with the discovery that high concentrations of sugar could preserve fruits, ended up creating an enormous excess of canned fruits, thus resulting in making fruitcakes more affordable and popular in regions around the world. Fruitcakes share an interesting history in much of Europe. It is said that in the 18th century, European-made fruitcakes were banned from production for having too much butter and sugar. These ingredients were restricted for being unhealthy, and these cakes were allowed to be sold again in America. No, in the 19th century, where they were common in high-class European weddings.
Interesting.
In weddings. Huh. That's an interesting thought. Interesting. I wouldn't have thought of them, never would have thought of them showing up at a wedding, that's for sure.
Well, and I didn't know this, that fruitcake is actually supposed to be aged at least 3 months.
Wow.
Any quicker will limit the development of complex flavors attributed to the maturing process. You can certainly age your cake for much longer than several months if you'd like, but, you know, busy life is busy, and you got to eat your fruitcake.
I keep thinking about the granola bar thing. I really like that. I'm also trying to think. I'm almost positive I have had a fruitcake before. I'm almost positive I have.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it... I know how silly this is going to sound. I can't remember what it tastes like. I feel like it should taste like a fruitcake. You know, it seems pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
But I for the life of me, I don't remember if that's what it tastes like, if I liked it. I don't remember.
It's very dense. Mm-hmm. Modern day ones are very dense. Mm. I would love it if it was more of that granola texture than that heaviness to it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that some people enjoy it with butter on it. I know that. I know, and I don't know if that loosens it up at all.
It helps moisten it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It makes it more chewable.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back after Melissa's news. We'll have some fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thank you so much for joining us here. We're still in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
So we're going to, the rest of this week, we're still going to play the Christmas bumper music there. Seth worked really hard on that. We got to get that extra week out of it.
Well, there's no reason not to.
Yeah. 12 Days of Christmas start on Christmas Day, not leading up to. So
we're
still in the midst of the 12 Days of Christmas.
We're actually going to dive into a little of that in just a little bit. But right now, it's trivia time, everybody. We have been having fun with our friends at Quality Foods IGA. We turkeyed it up. We hammed it up. We've been giving stuff away left and right. And now we're giving away this awesome New Year's Day basket that's going to have champagne in it, some snacks in it. We've been asking trivia questions to have some fun with this. We have had such a great time with the audience doing this. I want to remind everybody, you can call up 424-2600 if you have not already qualified for the basket, and you'll have a chance to qualify. Mm-hmm. And then this week, we'll be announcing the winner. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Melissa has our question for us, so get rid of the call.
Yes, indeed.
424-2600 and answer this one for us.
All right. What type of wine is best served with pasta or Italian food? What type of wine is best served with pasta or Italian food?
424-2600. Call up and go ahead and let us know what your answer is.
I would hypothesize, I didn't create this question, but I'm going to guess that this is meaning with pasta sauce, which means red sauce.
Marinara,
yes.
Yeah. The greatest sauce.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Well, yeah. So says you.
Yeah, yes. Me, yes, definitely. I am incredibly biased about this, but
And you know, you could answer probably a couple different wines here. I've got two on the list. These are very traditional, actually a very traditional Wisconsin wine is on here.
Yeah. 424-2600, let us know. You know, especially you take a shot at this and you get close, you'll probably qualify.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. You'll probably qualify because we want to grab qualifiers. We're not trying to stump
That's
the
our point.
Audience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
424.
Can I call in with just a color instead of a specific type?
You know, that's not a bad idea either.
It's not a bad idea. It's
there
not a bad
go.
Thought.
There are several colors.
Yes, there are.
424-2600. Name us a wine. 424-2600. You'll qualify to win this awesome basket from our friends at Quality Foods IGA. And encourage you to keep in mind, visit either of our IGA locations throughout the rest of the end of the year here and everything to get your spirits, get your snacks, get everything you need to make sure that your New Year's Eve is rocking.
Yeah, yes, I topped in last night for a little something that I needed for my baking, so right they're open right late.
Let's go ahead and see if we have ourselves a qualifier. Good morning. What's your answer?
Let's go with just a red wine.
Hey,
yay.
Red wine works.
Yes, nicely done. It's just that easy. Thank you so much. Who do we have on the phone with us?
This is Tom.
Tom, I thought so. Thank you so much for listening and playing along, Tom. We appreciate that. Feel pretty confident about that. Just taking a shot at it, Tom.
Taking a shot when you mentioned the sauce.
Yes.
there you go.
Yeah.
Yes, so red wine goes good with red sauce.
It there certainly you does. Go. Thank you so much, Tom, for listening and playing along. I'm going to get some information from Tom off air, but you guys hang in there. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about when we should be taking our Christmas stuff down. So we're going to get into a little of that when we come back on Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. And keep in mind, at the kickoff, the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center, getting an update from them. Looking forward to it. We were just talking about this as we came out of break and everything, and we were talking about when we take down Christmas decorations.
Right.
We were just talking with Tom, who was our most recent qualifier. I think Tom may have answered this for us.
Yep.
50 degrees.
Yep.
That's a good answer.
Very good answer.
So we're done, right? We don't need to talk about this anymore.
Right. Taken care of.
It really is the greatest answer. That is a really great answer right there. I think that while outside of the weather factor, I think this is one of those ones where it's such a gray area, but I feel like everybody's got the same answer. Mm-hmm. Like I did my own little bit of a survey over the last couple of weeks, just asking random people this and family members and that. And I'm kidding. I don't know if I've ever seen any result like this, where it's like 98-99% of people all say the same thing. I will give you that answer in a second. What about you guys? When do you think is the right time to take decorations down? Melissa, I'll start with you.
Well, when you don't put them up in the first place, you don't have to take them down. So, never.
That's awesome. I was hoping that's where you were going. Oh, that's so good.
Now, well, wait, to be fair, I got a mini Christmas tree from Pam for Christmas. So, I did put that up. It's sitting on my desk. But I might not take it down because it looks really nice.
Yeah.
It's this, like, little crystal tree. And when you turn it on, the lights change color inside. And so,
very nice.
It's not necessarily, like, totally Christmas because it's just when it's not turned on, it's a like little crystal pine tree.
Right.
So it could be a winter decoration.
There you go. I'm down with that.
All right.
How about you, Beth? What do you think?
I'm one of those weird people because I associate it with the religious tradition. So, and growing up, we always put things up for the first weekend in Advent, and then it stayed up through Epiphany, which is when we celebrate the wise men's arrival at Jesus, at the manger in Bethlehem. So ours stay up through at least Epiphany, and depending on how busy and how tired I am, through the season of Epiphany until we get to Lent. So a lot depends on time. But we mainly do indoor decorations, so we can take them down anytime. If we had outdoor decorations, you know, I like the answer of 50 degrees. And you know, last night, our family went around and started looking at the lights. Finally, we had the time to do that. We went through the Riverside Nakusa, the light display down there, which was phenomenal.
So beautiful.
And then seeing all of the houses decorated on the way down and on the way back. And I looked at Seth at one point and he said, I bet a lot of people will be taking them down this Thursday and Friday when we're actually up into the 40s.
Yeah, but you know, that snow is going to be wet and it's going to be mushy. Cold and mushy. And I don't know. But I do like looking at other people's decorations.
Yes.
I pointed that out to my boyfriend multiple times when we were driving through town. I'm like, look at that one. It's so pretty. And he's just laughing at me. I'm like, what? I like looking at other people's.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't want to put them up myself.
You don't have to take
them down then if you don't.
Exactly.
A little bit of a timeout really quickly, and I should not admit this. I really shouldn't, but I can't help myself. I haven't thought about it in years. You mentioned the wise men. I clearly did not grow up going to you know, Sunday school and everything, and for a good month, I think, when I heard the wise men showing up from my background and what I grew up with.
The wise guys.
Bringing
burgers?
Nice. I really didn't think they showed up in like Italian suits or anything like that, you know, asking if anybody wants to make a bet.
Well, they did bring some gifts.
Or gambling, but they did, yes. I thought that was like the early versions of that or something. And to be in my defense, my uncles, people like that, tend to show up at births
there
very often.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
You know, bringing gifts and everything. I mean, I was
very, not that odd.
It was very wrong, though. Very wrong.
So does that make them the first godparents?
Something like that. Forget about it. Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions. Forget about it. We're not talking about this. We're here to keep an eye on the firstborn here. Americans have opinions about when to hang Christmas lights for the holiday season. However, when to take them down is even a bigger debate.
Hmm.
Once Santa has come and gone, you're left with the unwrapped gifts picked out over dishes and guest-free home. You may be left with thinking, well, now what? Now what do I do? there's people that like to leave them up for a little bit to kind of enjoy them themselves because they didn't really get a chance to. And once the hoopla of Christmas is done, maybe you get more of a chance to.
Right.
Everybody that I asked, personally, they said that it was this week here was the last week. And then on January 1st, they were taking them down. Almost, I wouldn't say the first of January, like the first week of January.
Right. I was going to say, that's a big order for January.
Yeah, especially
1st.
On New Year's Day. Yeah. Yeah. They said the first week of January is when they take their stuff down,
right.
when they take their Christmas tree down, all of this. I couldn't get over how many people like agreed to this. Even my own parents said the same thing. So that was the overall, that was the majority of the answer that I got from my own little personal survey. But looking at housemethod.com, which is where this article came to us from, they had a couple of different answers. But historically, the 12-day-long celebration, December 25th through January 5th, is sometime in between then, is when that they say that people will do this.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yep, that's the and Christmas is a season, not just a day.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate Christmas Day as the birth, but it's that those 12 days. So when you hear the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, it starts on Christmas Day and goes those 12 days until you get to Epiphany, which is always January 6th.
Yeah, like it was saying in the article here, Christmas is historically a 12-day-long celebration from January 5th through January 25th through January 5th. The fifth day of the new year is known as the 12th night because it marks the 12 days since the birth of baby Jesus.
Yeah.
So taking them down like before that, I could see why people might not want to do that. And I could also see why people, you know, if you happen to get a nice degree weather day, like, sorry, Jesus, I get these things down.
Celebrating you in my heart.
Yes, there absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and I think it depends on, you know, indoor, outdoors. Often the outdoor decorations have more to do with the commercialized part of Christmas with Santa Claus and all of that, where the indoors, you know, and there's a difference between, is it the tree? Is it the nativity scene? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So, it's a personal thing, too, because not everybody worships the same way or believes the same thing. So do it when it's right for you.
Mm-hmm. There was a wonderful story about a dog that kept on showing up to a nativity scene.
Oh, really?
And they couldn't figure out why. It was trying to protect the baby.
Oh.
Yeah. The baby that it had grown up with, this kid had already gotten a little bit older and everything.
Yeah.
And the dog just felt like it was supposed to.
It adopted a new baby.
Basically,
there you go.
That's a great story.
Read a headline where there's a real problem with keeping the baby Jesuses in those nativity scenes.
Yeah.
So that dog's got the right frame of mind there.
According to biblical history, that was the time it took, the 12 days was the time it took the three wise men to travel to Bethlehem to bestow the blessings upon the new baby.
Took them more than 12 days.
I would think.
Took them close to 3 years.
I was actually going to ask you that off air, Beth, but I'm like, wait a minute, that don't seem right to me.
Because if you, and here's the other interesting thing that a lot of people, even who are Christian, don't realize. The nativity mushes together different gospels. So the angels only appear in Matthew and the wise men only appear in Luke. But when we put together the nativity, we blend the stories together. And so if you read Luke closely, the wise men don't get there until he's a child. He's no longer a baby. So, you know, scholars have figured it took them 2 to 3 years before they got to Bethlehem.
Huh.
It'd just be an awfully long time to spread out the celebration,
I guess. Yeah.
Man, and you got to hope
it's easier to just stick it all in the same season.
If you're bringing gifts and it takes you 3 years, you got to hope they stay in style.
Yep.
God help you if you brought food. You know.
Unless it's a fruitcake.
Yes.
You got to figure they had to have a...
We just figured out why fruitcakes are indestructible.
It was the birthday party. It was the original first birthday party. You know, you have to honor the birth every year.
Yes.
So there you go.
Yep.
Nice.
Glad we solved this.
Yeah. If you aren't too worried about tradition, bad luck, goblins, your decorations, your decoration timeline is completely up to you.
Yeah. Goblins?
I just threw the, just
okay.
I just want to throw it in there. See if anybody's listening. It's early. The best time to take down your Christmas tree is the time that's most convenient for your needs and schedule. Some people prefer to undeck their halls on Boxing Day, December 26th, to wrap up the Christmas season and prepare the New Year's for New Year's Eve. Others like to leave the decor up through the New Year holiday for a little extra cheer amongst all the ball dropping and champagne toasts. So there is no real bad answer here, nope. Other than I would say July.
This is a debate that I want to have, because if you have an artificial tree, I challenge you to make it a holiday tree and decorate it for all of the holidays, because we've got Valentine's Day coming up, then you've got St. Patrick's Day, then you've got Easter, and you've got the 4th of July. There are plenty of holidays throughout the year that you can decorate that tree for.
That's a true story.
That is a very true story. It's not bad, actually. I like where you went with that.
And if you've got little ones in your house, they're great at making decorations.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about like the salt dough decorations, the snowflake decorations. You could do all sorts of things. Yeah. There's plenty of hearts and things
absolutely
like that.
And flags. And
lots of ways you could go.
They Shamrocks. Definitely, they remind people. If you have a real tree, to keep it watered, to keep taking care of it, keep diligent on taking care of it. Those things, even if it is December 26th, still remain a fire hazard.
Absolutely.
So keep that in mind, everybody.
Which is why I like the idea of us moving to the where you rent the tree. And they bring it in dirt and put it in your house. Yeah. And then you keep it watered, because you need much less water, I would think, with the dirt.
You would think.
And then it goes back to the tree farm.
I love this idea.
To be reused the next year.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
It's a very cool idea. Mm. I have not read much or heard much about it. Is it a newer idea? Because I haven't heard a whole lot about it.
It's more popular in other parts of the world that have less land and less trees, farms growing than we have here. I mean, obviously, it's very easy for us to get a pine tree around here.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tree farms, and people love going out and selecting their tree. But if we could do it in a much more, renewable way, how wonderful would that be?
Well, I don't know. I honestly hadn't read much or heard much about this. The more I'm hearing about it, the more I'm really enjoying the idea.
But we had people out in North Dakota that when they would cut down their tree after Christmas is over, they'd throw it out in their bonfire pile, and they'd just light up, and they'd ask for other people's trees and make one giant bonfire. So,
everybody's got their traditions. Yeah.
As we wrap up the first hour here, we're going to get into kind of a funny one. Recently, this article at Cosmopolitan started making rounds again, and I think they came out with a new one, and that's part of the reason why. But it's essentially the top things that men do that women don't understand. I will let the audience know that on Thursday, we're going to have the Mel and Seth here, and we're going to get into the 10 things women do that men are baffled by.
Perfect.
Okay. So I have that one lined up then. This one, though, for right out the gate, crying while we're watching sporting movies. Not just sporting events, sporting movies. A lot of women don't seem to understand men doing that.
What? Why not?
Stacking empty beer cans into a pyramid. The obsession to need to do this. Or I'll add on to that, hanging on to empty alcohol bottles.
Yeah.
I want to know what women they ask these questions of, because so far those two things seem pretty logical to me.
Quoting Scarface, every chance we get.
Okay, that one maybe.
Picking a restaurant based on basically the name and the colors and everything,
not the food, the business. The quality.
Wise guys every time.
Wise guys. Yep.
Wearing shorts with lots of pockets. I don't understand why that would be.
That's a boon for us women, because we have no pockets, so then you get to carry my things in your pockets. I've actually heard men say, no, I don't need more pockets, otherwise she'll just put more stuff in them.
Spend all day working in the garage, but have nothing to show for it. So I'm just going to throw one in there. Fantasy football. I don't see it on the list, but fantasy football.
Yeah, I want to go back to the last one just to define what working is in the garage. Mm-hmm. You know, what's that definition?
Yeah.
It's a very good one.
Well, because sometimes you just need to putter in your space.
Right.
I mean, I do that. I used to do that in my craft room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like, you know, I'd pick something up and move it somewhere else,
yeah,
set it down. I imagine men do the same thing.
That's
in the
what I'm thinking working is for them in the garage.
Sure. Sometimes.
The closing one nostril to shoot snot out the other one.
Oh, that's a farmer thing.
It's a, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
My grandma taught me how to do that when I was like
really?
Six. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, when you're out in the field and you got nothing, that's better than your shirt.
No, she's right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Absurd methods of hiding hair loss. That comb over looks worse than if you shaved it all off. Just shave it off.
There you go. Embrace the bald.
Embrace it. Embrace it. There's plenty of people that look good that way. I'm mm-hmm. not one of them, but people look good that way. Giving each other very, very ridiculous nicknames. Like, they always involve dog. Like, J-Dog or B-Dog.
Lane Dog.
D-Dog. Yeah, yeah. Acting like babies when we're sick.
Yeah.
They don't have to deal with continuing life as usual while suffering mind-numbing cramps, so a cold every 6 months feels like the end of the world.
Wow.
That's what this Cosmopolitan article says.
Oh, okay. This is from Cosmo? So,
yes.
Oh, this explains it so much.
Okay. Yeah. I have never read any Cosmo, so I don't know. I just saw the article, and it seemed like a good one for us.
No, it is a good one. It's good.
Catcalling women. All the way from the caveman era to now, there have never been an instance of successful catcalling, and yet it prevails. I've barked about that one before. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't. Not constantly texting back. Like, not being good about texting back, it sounds like. Mm. How are you and your best friends not having hilarious, nuanced conversations over chat 24 hours a day? okay.
Well, some guys do. Not, like, to that description,
right,
per
se,
but...
Say, me and my best friends text all the time. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, you may not text, like, every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it might take you a day or 48 hours to respond mm-hmm. to the thread going on, but you eventually get to it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Not getting some of their girlfriend's friends.
Or not understanding them.
Not understanding. Yeah. I think that's what it was.
I think that's perfectly understandable.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Why we idolize Bruce Willis? Because it's Bruno.
It's Bruno.
It's Bruno.
But
it's
we don't
Bruce.
Talk about Bruno.
No. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, nice.
Different Bruno.
Okay. Yeah.
the challenges of wearing briefs or boxers. Or I should say, boxers or briefs or you know,
the
whatever.
Challenges?
See, yes. I get that because there are so many different types of women's underwear and styles mm-hmm. and things like that. So it makes sense that you all would have the same struggle with what kind fits better.
It's all about
and feels
arrangement.
Good.
Yep. It's all about arrangement. Your furniture not being where you left it. That's, it sucks. There's no getting around it. Watching football for hours and 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 hours.
Fortunately, not all men do that.
This is true. And for others, it could be a different sport.
True.
Rather than football.
Mm-hmm. Could.
In our house, it's baseball and baseball and baseball and baseball and baseball and baseball.
Men not knowing how to dance. Yes, that's another. Again, that's not all of us, by the way.
That
some
is
of
not.
Us
that's
do
true.
Know.
Yeah.
And some are willing to learn.
Exactly.
Yeah, yes. Oh, one of the funnest things to do is to learn a new dance with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot encourage that enough to people.
That's, are you listening, Seth? Did you hear that?
I don't know if that hint was dropped loudly enough.
I'm so sorry, Seth. I'm so sorry. I'm not sorry about the what's coming up after we're done hanging out here this morning. We're going to kick off Morning Magazine for the week because, of course, no playmakers. We just go right into Morning Magazine. We have our friends from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce joining us in part one.
All right.
And in part two, we will catch up with the Family Center. Any chance to talk to the Family Center, you know we're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit later on this radio station at WFHR, we're going to have Wisconsin football. football.
Ooh. All right.
Football, Wisconsin taking on Oklahoma State, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. It happens today at 7. Ooh. Looking forward to that. One more final game for Wisconsin for the season, and certainly a chance to see Coach Fickell on the sidelines there. I don't know if he's going to be coaching. I didn't see that, but that'll be good. And then it's 6:30 on her sister station, WIRI. It's ball night. Marquette men's basketball taking on Seton Hall. Nice Big Ten matchup, or a Big East matchup, right? Old school Big East matchup right there. Tip-off will be at 6:30 on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. Take a break. We'll come back. Have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR.